101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Now, you might have recognized this voice. You filled in for Moon Griffon, didn't you?
A week ago today. Had a good time.
Very cool.
Yeah, John Kay. Now, tell us a little bit about Neutral Ground Solutions and a little bit about who you are.
Neutral Ground Solutions is a government relations firm that I started a year ago this month. I left the governor's office. I served as his policy director, Governor Landry, for a year and a half. So that was five legislative sessions, two regular sessions. When the second regular one was done, all the bills were signed, I left to begin this.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do?
Government relations firm. So I work with the legislature a lot on bills that are moving through the process.
The legislative session that wrapped a couple of weeks ago, they get an A through F. What do you give them, John?
I'll give them an A. I think it was a pretty good session.
I think so too. I thought it was pretty incredible. Actually,
they tackled some interesting topics, and they didn't raise our taxes. So what else can you ask for?
Now they have a dilemma. Because they keep putting all these constitutional amendments on the ballot, and the Louisiana voters keep going, nah, not going to happen. What's your problem there?
I think voters are tired of amending the Constitution. Mm-hmm. I think that for a long time, myself and others have advocated for a constitutional convention because it's a book of statutes instead of guiding principles. It needs to happen. I think the voters are saying it in their own way by voting against everything.
Isn't the Louisiana Constitution like the most revised Constitution? It's 10,000 pages. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's huge. We've amended it. I think we're pushing 300 times now. It's a lot.
Mm. Yeah. We do need a constitutional convention, and we need to just completely rework it.
I think so. And I think a lot of people believe that as well. It's just getting the details of a convention pulled together. It's hard. It's very hard work to make it happen, to make everyone happy, and to get a document that the people will ultimately approve, because that has to go back to the people as well. They have to say yes to it at the
right
ballot.
So what is the fear of those that go, well, we don't want to do that because...
There are different topics that are brought up along the way. There are solid protections in our Constitution. We have some of the best protections for taxpayers in the Constitution here in Louisiana, as far as when taxes can be raised, how they have to be raised, the protections around that. So there are things in the Constitution that are good. Mm-hmm. And I think there are people who are just concerned that some of those things might get taken out along the way.
Bill signing, the governor's in town, apparently?
He was going to be in town.
He's not.
I don't think he's in town now.
Okay.
He was going to sign a few bills that I worked on this year, among others, that had to do with critical infrastructure and foreign adversaries in our state and how the state addresses that.
So essentially, who can own property near our Air Force base, things like that?
That's one of them. Mm-hmm. Another one is the technology that you put in critical infrastructure across the state of Louisiana, a bill by Senator Thomas Presley. That does limit the routers and the things you can have in big plants and other things that have back doors to the Chinese government in mm-hmm. them. This will limit that exposure that we have. So if we were to ever be in a conflict with China, they couldn't as easily shut down our operations.
Let's go back to the property owners, because if Chinese citizens with ties to the Chinese Communist Party owned land adjacent, completely surrounding an Air Force base.
On either end of the runway, even.
That doesn't seem like a good idea.
It's not a great idea, no. there's a known in, I think it's Whiteman Air Force Base, there's a known Chinese communist who lives in a mobile home at the end of one of the runways.
Oh, there's no nefarious activities going on there.
We've had drone issues over Barksdale.
Oh my gosh.
That's very sophisticated.
Very scary.
Couldn't be jammed.
That's right.
Right.
Very scary. These are big problems that we have to address. And we have to address not just on a federal level, but on a state level as well. And we're doing that. We had bills from people up here. Two of them that I worked on were by Senator Bass, which protects our higher education institutions. And then, like I said, the one by Senator Presley for critical infrastructure.
The one thing that failed, the amendment that failed with regard to the inventory tax, is there a workaround for that to do it without an amendment?
Not really. You need the amendment.
Okay.
It's locked in the Constitution. There's no real way to fix it. Otherwise, we would have already done that. We've been working on this for years.
Sure.
Whether I was at AFP or Pelican or with the governor,
mm-hmm.
we've been doing this for a long time. You have to have the constitutional amendment.
Okay, four amendments in this last election, all voted down. There were five in the previous election that were voted down. From what I understand, in November, we've got 9 more amendments in the election.
Yeah. I think people are nervous. People are nervous. And there's some good things that are dying, right? Like a permanent pay raise for teachers.
Sure.
And teachers supported it. But I think that there's voter fatigue. I really do. I don't think that this is a shot at any individual politician or another. I think that it is, people are just tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're tired of researching it. They're tired of having to go to the ballot every year and amend the Constitution and think about it. They want their leaders in Baton Rouge to take care of business, and then they're done. They don't want to have to do it themselves every year.
And we've said here, it's a mistrust of government. People don't trust government anymore.
I think
with good cause.
A big part of it in general. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think it's just they're exhausted with it. They're tired of it.
Yeah.
They're talking about it.
Can you stay with us? Because I want to talk about the big MFP fight, sure, the executive order, and all the stuff that's going, because the vote is due tomorrow. I want to talk to you about that.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, cool.
John Kay in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
A political analyst, political strategist, what would John Kay in studio?
You can call me whatever you want to call me, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I prognosticate about politics all the time. It's not professionally necessarily. Yes.
We got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board, and I want to ask you about this.
That's scary.
That says, and I'm quoting, "Is there ever, all caps, going to be a time we are not talking about teacher pay raises? ?" It literally never ends. If you don't like to pay for the job you have, then change jobs.
So actually,
are people weary of this?
I think the best way to stop talking about teacher pay raises is what's happening in Richland Parish right now, where they have the data center being constructed there, and teachers just got a $50,000 or $17,000 per teacher pay raise or bonus.
Wow.
Just week before last, 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Because of the investment there. Private investment is what's going to solve the problem. It's not going to be government. As long as it's a government-only conversation and we're not talking about growing our economy, we're always going to be talking about it.
But is that a one-time pay? Or is it sustainable?
It's a one-time thing. Every year they could get it. My understanding is every year they can get it as long as the investment continues and they continue to spend money and the tax base continues to grow in that parish. I believe they would be eligible to do it every year.
So the data centers that are coming here could make the same thing happen here?
Theoretically, they could. I don't know what the laws on the books for Caddo Parish teachers are, but, I mean, a rising tide lifts all ships, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is happening in Richland Parish.
Okay. The governor issued an executive order calling for the use of MFP, Minimum Foundation Program funding, that goes to the schools based on a per pupil dollar amount. He has said, we want you to take some of that money and use it to give teachers a stipend for this year. Am I correct?
That's right.
A judge has ruled that that order was not legal. Lawmakers are in the process of voting on that order. They have to approve it by 2/3 majority. Their votes are due by tomorrow afternoon. This is a mess. Nobody really understands what's going to happen, what's going on. What's the problem? I mean, where are we?
It is a legal mess, and I think that to some degree, it's maybe unprecedented or very rare that this happens, that this type of a move by a governor happens with a vote like this. So I think we're kind of in uncharted territory. But the conversation around fixing the MFP is an important one. It's one that needs to happen. It's needed to happen for a long time. In 2020, the MFP in Louisiana was $3.87 billion. We had 688,000 students. In 2025, the MFP was $4.25 billion, and we had 647,000 students. So we had 41,000 fewer students and almost $500 million more in MFP spending over a five-year period.
Hmm.
It continues to go up. Student enrollment continues to go down, and teacher pay remains stagnant. Louisiana funds K-12 education 21st. In the country. We're 21st in funding, which is pretty good for Louisiana.
You bet.
We're highest among SEC states. We're the highest. We pay our teachers the 49th most in the country.
Now, when you say SEC states, you're talking about Southeast Conference?
That's right. Go Tigers. Go Tigers.
Including Texas?
Go Tigers.
Including Texas. SEC, all SEC states.
Okay. But we're 49th in teacher pay.
49th.
So we're not spending the money on what should be the priority, in my view. You agree?
It's absolutely right. There's an old saying that a budget document, like a whether it's your home or the state legislature or whatever, a budget document is literally just your priorities. It's a list of your priorities funded. Our priorities for paying teachers seem to be pretty low in the state of Louisiana. But this governor has made it a priority not to just give one-offs through an appropriations process. He doesn't want to do that. He has made it a point to say he wants a permanent teacher pay raise. Mm-hmm. And he is doing everything in his power to accomplish that.
And he's...
I was just going to say, Louisiana has made such strides in education.
We have.
Statewide. We have come... I mean, we're so used to being 49th and 50th in every list. We're now up, like you say, 21 or even better in a lot of categories. How do we make this better?
We're improving in a lot of ways. I think that the MFP is a key to this success. You can raise teacher pay without spending more taxpayer dollars. It is mm-hmm. a great plan. Whether it happens through this vote or it happens next year whenever the legislature comes back in. Because remember, even if the other side, which these are activists who filed this lawsuit, Mike Falk is one of the plaintiffs listed on that, mm-hmm. was the executive director of the school board or the superintendents association until a few months ago.
Okay.
These folks are... They are in it for the school systems, not for the teachers.
Right.
But whether this lawsuit is successful or not, next year the legislature has the ability to really address this and really dig into this. That's what that task force is going to look into and make recommendations.
The governor's creating a task force to completely revamp the MFP.
The legislature created it. The governor's there with them. They are all singing from the same hymnal here. I think that it is only a matter of time before this happens. Whether it's going to happen at 5 o'clock tomorrow when those ballots are due, it's going to happen in the legislative session next year. I think this is going to happen.
Do we know yet, have you seen any data yet to show where the MFP money, the vast majority of it, is really going, where we need to take a hard look? Like, hey, we're spending X amount on this, and this is a problem.
I haven't dug that deeply into it, and I think that that's what the task force is doing.
Okay.
The MFP is a very complex formula that's set up to where it's really difficult to just look at it and know where the money is actually being spent. The state ships the money off to the local school districts. The school districts receive it. It's categorized, and then they can spend it in certain ways, and then they do.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature has to now dig into, okay, how is this money being spent and how should it be redirected? It's not just as easy as looking at a document and saying, this is how the MFP dollars are spent in Louisiana. But I will tell you.
Is that by design?
A lot of things are by design, mm-hmm. Mike. This is a formula that over years has just been piled on, and never reformed, never really looked at. They just add to it. They never change it. They never tweak it. They never reduce it based on teacher counts going down. This is something that has to happen. It has to happen now.
Mm. And you anticipate this will be a big, big topic in the session in the spring.
I absolutely do. And I think mm-hmm. it's going to be a big topic between now and then. I think it's going to be one of the biggest political topics in the state.
Will teachers get that stipend this year?
I hope so, but I don't know for sure what's going to happen with this ruling. But I do think that all things, if you take that off the table and you just say it's a vote of the legislature and they're going to decide now, which is what it should be, I think that the governor probably has the votes to accomplish it without the lawsuit there.
Okay.
Last week with the overcollections announcement that they're going to send some money back to the locals as a result of overcollections from on the state government level, I think that they probably have enough votes to accomplish it.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate
you
coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.
Good to see y'all.
Awesome. John K., Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710KEOL.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Well, I just went outside. We've actually got a dog.
Yeah, he looked at me like kinda... I was a steak this morning.
he only because Rogers, you know, Tim Fletcher's producer, mm-hmm. that's his Reuben. He feeds like cats around here.
Right.
And he brought some dog food because this dog's been hanging out for a couple of days.
It's a big boy.
And I've been trying to get him to come to me, but it's dark when we get here. Mm-hmm. It's 4:30 or so, and I can't get him to come up. But Rogers has been feeding him.
Okay. Okay.
And when you sent out that text this morning, I guess that's the first time you've seen him.
That's the first time I've seen him. And he was looking at me like eyeballing me like, ooh, you look juicy.
Well, what had happened was.
Okay.
Rogers had just put food down.
Okay.
And the dog was going to head toward the food when you pulled up.
Ah, okay.
So he couldn't get to his food, and he was looking at Rogers. Well, I don't know where Rogers was hiding.
He was back by his truck, I guess.
And so that's what he was looking at. It wasn't you.
He was hungrily. That's why he was hungry.
Yes, there was food down on the ground. And
that's why he looked at me like I was a steak. Okay. I was worried.
He doesn't look like he's malnourished or anything.
No, he does. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. Or gal. I don't know what he is.
I think it's a boy.
Is it? Okay.
I'm trying to get him to come to me, but I can't yet. So.
Okay. Y'all are sweet for what you do. I mean, that's just not in my wheelhouse because it would scare me too much to go back there.
I get it.
I don't know if he's friendly or not. I'm not sure. But, yeah, he was looking at me. He was eyeballing me like,
Well, he couldn't get to his breakfast.
Yeah, I was interfering with his breakfast. The weather.
Speaking of breakfast.
Yeah, storming out there this morning. It's been a really, really rough morning. And so there's been a little bit of a change today.
Yeah, Sonia Bale sent us a message. The Bossier School summer meal box distribution, the weather is affecting the schedule for today. It's going to be pushed back an hour. The meals will be available for pickup at all four sites from 8 a.m. until noon.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take advantage of that summer meal box distribution program in Bossier. Just know that because of the weather, it's if you don't go normal time, just wait another hour.
Wait an hour. And hopefully this storm will move through because it was pretty good storming when I was coming through.
Same here when I was coming in. It was heavy, heavy storm. Yes. It's not bad right now.
No, it's getting better.
I just went out to check for the dog, and I didn't see him.
Oh, he's gone? Okay. Yeah.
Ruben thinks he lives around here someplace.
I think he might.
Because Ruben's been seeing him for a while.
Yeah, I have too. I've seen him for a little bit now.
Yeah, and he's never seemed skinny or anything like that. So he seems taken care of. But
and he's not aggressive or anything.
I think he just likes to get out in the mornings.
Okay.
When nobody's looking.
Or at night. Yeah.
He likes to hop the fence and go exploring.
Wander around. Well, we know what he's exploring for then.
Right.
He's looking for babes. He's looking for doggy babes. We don't have any over here.
Or maybe just some food.
It could be. Could be looking for some food. Well, then why is his home not feeding him? Feed the boy.
Yeah, well, there's no accounting for some people.
You got a point.
Beth Mizell, State Senator, going to be joining us about the debit card fees bill.
Mm-hmm. It's now law.
Okay.
Yep, goes into effect August 1st. What's it going to change?
We'll find out. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. That's after the news in the 8 o'clock hour.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Watching last night, watching the news.
Mm-hmm.
This surge of democratic socialists. It's disturbing.
Yes.
Okay. But I told my wife, what's more disturbing is they're being elected.
Right, right, exactly.
People are voting for this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to somebody about this. Is it just such a Trump derangement syndrome effect that it's swung so hard? It is so hard to the left, it's not even the Democrat Party anymore.
Right. Right. It's almost
my stepdad
unrecognizable.
Would be spinning in his grave if he saw his beloved Democrat Party.
Oh, my father too.
Because
when
I think of Democrats in the 70s and 80s, Even the 90s, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't agree with the policies, but at least there was some humanity.
Absolutely. And some bendability, some compromise, some, you know, at least listen to the other side.
I don't even listen now. I remember there was a point and I just stopped and I went, well, congratulations, universe. You win. I miss Bill Clinton. Wow.
Yes, exactly. Isn't that crazy?
That just shows you how bad it's gotten.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that this radical policy, this way of thinking is now. Aaron, think about, remember in Hollywood in the 50s, oh, he's a communist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're not hiring these actors. They're
right.
They're sympathetic to the communist. Now they celebrate it.
Yeah. All over the place. They're having parties about it. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's a spiritual battle. That's what it is.
I think you're absolutely right.
It's a spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not being viewed that way. And I understand that. I understand. Yeah. A lot of people don't have that perspective. But
no.
It's disturbing.
It's not getting any better is the problem. It's just getting worse and worse and worse.
And I'm wondering, once Trump is out of office, if things are going to kind of shift back toward the center and maybe people, I don't know, but because now that door is opened,
and these lunatics, in the White House. Do they win the White House?
Well, they won New York City.
Yeah. They want the White House back. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
They will be fighting for that. Promise you.
State Senator Beth Mizell joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. Mikey McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
It's been fun to watch the reaction for the World Cup.
Yes.
I honestly didn't grow up watching soccer. You grow up in Treeport-Bossier. Soccer wasn't a big deal in the 60s and 70s.
No.
We didn't have Kubota back in those days.
It's my favorite sport. I love soccer.
So I didn't grow up watching it. Like hockey. Love the Mudbugs. Love going to watch hockey now.
Mm-hmm.
I knew nothing about it.
Yes. You have to learn.
And so I'm kind of watching some soccer now.
Look at you.
I know. And so it's fun, but it's really fun to watch the reactions and to see. I mean, I knew it was the most popular sport in the world.
Absolutely.
I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of boring.
I get that. Not a lot of action in terms of scoring.
But then, my gosh, look at baseball.
Right, golf.
You know, right.
We have a lot of sports that are like that. So, you know, a few anyway. But it's just so beautiful. It's such a beautiful game. And I'm just intrigued. The one yesterday, this one killed me. Was it France? One of them. I mean, a driving rain.
Okay.
These folks are, I mean, the referees are dripping, water's rolling off of them, and they ended up suspending the game at half. And I thought about it later, and I thought, you have trained all your life as a little child to be at the World Cup.
And you're playing in the World Cup.
And the one game that, the time of your one game, Mother Nature decides to unleash.
Now, do they stop for rain?
Well, not for rain, but they stop for lightning.
Okay.
So they did stop it for lightning,
sure.
and it was a long, long delay. They came back later and finished, but it may not have been the France game. I'm not sure. Somebody can correct me, but it was just, I thought about that later. I thought, those boys have trained all their lives, dreamed about playing in the World Cup, And they get this. They get a torrential storm. And I thought, poor guys. That must have been just terrible for them.
I just can't get enough of the visitors loving our country.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't get enough of it. The videos they're posting of, my gosh, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're in Trader Joe's going, this is the greatest thing in the world.
I saw a video of a German guy crying, trying Texas barbecue for the first time.
Wow.
He started crying.
And it's, wow.
It's so much that we take for granted. We are spoiled. This country, spoiled rotten.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you hate it, go on over to some of these other countries.
Yeah. One thing that makes me mad about these games is that some of these stadiums are gigging these folks.
Oh, yeah.
Charging $20 for a beer. Why are you doing that to these folks?
I don't know what an empanada is, but I don't know that I want to pay $40 for one.
$40. And then this stupid tater tots that has caviar on top, $75. But really, $20 for a beer. That's highway robbery. Ridiculous. That's almost criminal.
Right.
And you probably paid $2 for it. Sell it for 10 for crying out loud.
Yeah.
These are out of the country visitors. Why are you robbing them? I hate that when that happens. Yeah. I really do. Because that people leave and they talk about that. A beer was $20, you know?
Yeah.
That's sad. But I'm loving it. I'm loving it. The U.S. plays on Thursday.
Who are we playing?
Thursday night game. Them.
Okay. Well, we'll check it out.
All right.
101.7 FM, 710keel.com. I feel like we ought to have like some kind of celebration.
For what?
I-20 is finished in Bossier. Yes.
They officially cut the ribbon or something on it yesterday.
But they stop all the traffic and lay a ribbon across the road
or
stretch one across the interstate.
Don't think they did that. I don't think they did that. But you know, that was a big project. There was a lot of people griping about I-20. For a long, long time.
Well, yeah, some of that was original pavement from the 60s.
Yes,
when
yes.
they first. I remember
back in the day, we used to take our horse and over to Minden.
I do remember having to take 80 to Minden,
mm-hmm.
going through Dixie Inn, and
right,
and. I spent a lot of time, especially in the summers, at my cousin's house out in the country between Minden and Homer.
Okay.
And so my grandparents. I should.
What?
It was a different time, is all I'm going to say.
Oh, okay.
Because, well, one, we'd ride in the back window. The kids would fight to see who could lay up in the back window. Remember that?
Oh, my gosh.
That?
Oh, yeah.
I was always too tall. I couldn't do it anyway.
Yes.
Even as a kid, I was too tall.
Golly, we did that too.
My grandparents, I'm embarrassed to say this, on Highway 80.
Oh, no.
Would stop at the bottle shop. They called it the bottle shop.
The bottle shop. Okay.
And leave the grandkid. We be in the car. Now, y'all stay in the car.
Dang.
On the way.
Wow. Wow. That's funny. Golly.
And we'd stay in the car. Sometimes we'd get out in the parking lot, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Man.
It was a different time. This was mid to late 60s.
We would do something. My father would do something that
there's no seatbelt in the car.
Oh yeah, my father would be arrested if this happened now.
Right.
We would be in the old Woody station wagon.
Yep.
And my brothers would. There's six children. Okay, so we fill up that car, and my brothers would be in the way back.
And they're five boys.
And sometimes they'd have friends with them, so it would be packed. And they would ask Dad to let the tailgate down So they would let the, sometimes he would let the tailgate down. If we're just going somewhere in the neighborhood, like to taking them to football practice or something, he would let the tailgate down. And these boys are sitting on the tailgate.
Yes.
While we're driving.
Oh, we did it in the pickups.
Unbelievable.
My uncle had, and they had what we called headache racks back in the day.
Oh,
they were
yeah.
lumber racks on the, because they were carpenters and mm-hmm. things like that. And we'd be hanging off those things like monkeys in the jungle.
It was so
going down the highway, Aaron, at 60 miles an hour.
We're the same. It would be he would be having the kids sitting on the tailgate. I wonder what that police officer that's listening, text me and tell me what that crime would be today. Is that endangering the life of a child? Is that what is that? Is that you know?
We'd be sitting on the tailgate of the pickup. As they're going down the highway.
Absolutely.
Our feet just swinging in the...
Dangling, yep. Many a time sitting in the back of a pickup.
Gosh, Aaron, we think back on that now.
How do we survive?
How? And of course, some didn't.
You got a point.
But
it was a better time.
It was.
It was an easier time. Nobody cared. Everybody was, you know, easygoing. Nobody was stressed out. But if you saw somebody in a station wagon with kids sitting on the tailgate, you would call 911.
Absolutely.
I would too.
Yeah.
I'd call 911 and go, hey, these kids are going to fall out of this car. Somebody needs to come stop this car. But I've done it. I've sat back there myself.
Hey, there's kids in the parking lot outside this bar on Highway 80.
Sitting in the car.
Granny and Grandpa come get back in the car,
man.
And then we take off. And you didn't think anything of it.
No.
We weren't going,
yeah.
We didn't notice.
They would go to jail now. Straight to jail.
I think about that and laugh.
Oh, my goodness. That's so true. So true. Unbelievable. Times have changed.
And now... Well, anyway, now we've got parents with babies, and they have at home healthy babies,
mm-hmm.
heart monitors and cameras in the cribs.
Oh.
And it's like, what?
If you don't have a camera, you're not a good parent today.
And you can't touch the baby because you haven't been vaccinated and don't get in the baby. What?
You don't have a full suit on or something. Yeah. Yeah, there are lots of things, lots of things today.
I pity the fool.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We survived it, though.
We survived. Mm. Stronger for it.
Yeah.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, Mike, you need to change clothes real quick.
Oh, really?
Okay, Ruben, you're good.
I've got a nice shirt on.
You need to be... Ruben, you're in a long-sleeve flannel shirt with a T-shirt under.
Yes.
Ruben!
And you got long pants on.
Long pants.
Long pants. You got sneakers on?
Yeah.
Okay. Mike, you need long pants.
I do?
And you need a long-sleeve shirt.
Is there a funeral? What's going on?
I'm going to pick you both up, and I'm going to drop you off 100 acres of woods, just a wooded area, completely wooded area. There is water. There is like a little river stream thing going through it. And there is a little beach area where there's like a little sea, a sea or whatever, not an ocean, but you know, and I'm curious what you would do. Could you both survive 30 days?
30 days.
30 days.
Oh, God.
Can you start a fire on your own, Ruby?
I can, yeah.
You can. Mikey?
I'm hanging out with Ruben.
You really can, Ruben. Sticks together and
I was
all
in,
that.
I was in Boy Scouts.
Okay.
I know how to start a fire with one to no matches.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how are you getting food?
Is it the old spinning the...
It's there are different ways, but kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a... You know, there's different methods. But
so
yeah,
what are you doing to get food? What would you do? I mean, you arrive, you first got to get fire. You got to find water, right?
I mean, do I know this is happening? Do I
you,
can
you
I prepare,
know
can I prepare at all?
No, you don't. I'm picking you up like you are right now.
With what I have.
What you have on right now.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Well, I have a lighter, so I'm good.
Yeah. I've got a pretty nice size knife in my pocket.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have your knife.
Yeah.
I'm dropping you off. What are you doing to get food?
You said there's a stream and a pond.
Yeah.
Fishing's probably going to be the easiest.
Okay. So you're going to fish with what?
Tie my knife to the end of a stick and spear the fish.
Oh, you're going to spear them?
Yeah.
Oh.
Really?
You can. I mean, yeah.
You think you could spear a fish?
I never have, but I if I get hungry enough, I'm sure going to try.
Okay. What are you going to eat, Mikey?
I'm going to hang out with Ruben.
Okay, Ruben, that's a good question. You're there with another dude who can't do anything. He can't bring anything to the table.
I'm eating him.
Are you going to share your fish that you catch with him?
Well, I won't need any fish. I got plenty of food now.
Got a big knife and a worthless slug.
But what do you do to boil the water so you don't get infected from the water? Something?
That's a thing. You have to find something to boil the water in. So you'd have to scavenge, I guess, to find just whatever you could.
Is there a running stream?
There is a little running stream, but it's not necessarily clean.
You'd have to go way upstream to make sure there's not a dead pig.
And by the way, I can take care of myself.
You could do it?
I think so.
What would you do to get, like, if you see rabbits, what would you do to, like, catch a rabbit?
Knife spear, again.
A knife spear?
I would have to dig way back, but I think I remember how to make snares.
Really?
Yeah.
You could make a snare.
Have you watched the episode Andy Griffith with Barney and Gomer out in the woods?
No. Is it bad?
It's hilarious.
I bet it is hilarious. I'm thinking of the two of you would be hilarious. Really, and I'm thinking Ruben ain't sharing the fish with you.
He's not going to have to share fish.
Now, are you going to go swimming to stab these fish? You're going to, like, get in the water?
You'd have to
get in where the fish are.
Yeah, you got to go out there.
You're not going to stand up on the bank and throw a spear.
So you could make 30 days. You think you could do it?
I think I could probably do 30, yeah.
You'd be miserable, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Awful. Yeah.
Now, are you building a shack? Are you building a little hut to sleep in?
There's you could make like a lean-to, I guess.
Okay.
But again, it's all the second you're there and you know you're going to be there for a while, the first thing you do is just start scavenging for anything.
Anything you might could use.
Anything you could use.
Okay. I just don't think I could survive it. I think I'd be doomed. I really do. I think I would be doomed.
If you could get water.
Yeah.
That would be the main thing.
Right.
Water would be the main thing. Ruben and I both are, we're okay on,
we could go reserves. A few days without eating.
Yeah.
I just got a text from my buddy Toby. He said, you can boil water in a plastic bottle? How do you do that?
You can very carefully. I've seen it done.
Slow?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so you don't melt the bottle?
Who's carrying a plastic bottle with them?
Me, I have one.
He does? He has a water bottle.
Oh, a little water. Oh, those bags of water.
Yeah.
Right.
That bottle is going to melt.
You can't boil in that.
No, probably not.
You'd have to find some sort of plastic bottle somewhere.
A buddy just texted me and said, y'all are going to be hungry.
Right. Yeah, y'all are going to be hungry. Y'all, definitely. I don't know that I could. A, I don't think I could catch a fish. B, I don't think I could start a fire. I don't know that I could do that. I would try. You know what would happen with me? I'd start crying. I'd get to where I couldn't start it, and I would just, I can't start a fire. I'm going to die.
I never understood that.
Really?
Even these scenes where the guys are, somebody's got them, the gun to their head, and you say,
I couldn't do it. I love watching those shows, though, where they pick people up, especially when they're these, these girly girls and they all in their makeup and all that, and they drop them in the middle of the forest. I'm like, oh, she's going to die. She doesn't have a chance. And usually they quit. They quit before it's time. But
tapping out.
Yeah, they tap out. I'd be tapping out. Y'all could make it, though.
I would try.
You could make it, Mike.
I mean, I think so. I think so. Maybe, it's self-delusioned, but
yeah, Ruben would be.
I think I'm
the
pretty competent.
All right. Interesting. Yeah. Is there something you wouldn't eat? Would you eat bugs and whatever you had to eat?
You've watched me eat bugs.
I have watched you eat bugs.
There's a lot I would not eat.
Waxworms? What would you eat?
I don't know.
Crickets?
I can't.
You have to snap the back legs off because they get caught in your throat.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Crickets are a problem. You really need a water pick after you eat a cricket.
Now I'm going to go watch that Tom Hanks movie where he's on the island.
Yeah, absolutely.
See how he did it.
I don't think I'd survive it. I'd tap out. Sorry, I'm out. Anyway.
I say that like it's a documentary.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to watching Bear Grylls or whatever.
Right,
And seeing how it's really done.
Mm, yeah.
Beth Mizell, State Senator, joining us after the news top of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I have let this entire crawfish season slip by. I have not gone and gotten crawfish.
You haven't had any yet?
Not once.
Wow. I bought them once, and then I went to Ryan Getty hosts a big event every year.
Over in Bossier.
Incredible. It was awesome.
I didn't get to go.
I'll be there every year. That's an amazing event. And I had never been before. I don't know why. I'm not sure why. But everybody from all around town was there. I mean, it was a who's who.
Does anybody still have good crawfish right now?
Some people still have them. I think Rubber Boot is done for the year. I think there are a couple of others that are done for the year. But there are some that still have them. One of them said they were going to go through the 4th of July weekend. And then we were done. And the prices are down to about $3.99 a pound,
whoa!
I think. So not too bad. Maybe $4.99 for some. But yeah, not bad for the prices.
Okay.
And they're pretty decent size right now. Pretty good size. It's just so much work.
No, it's not.
It's just
you're not doing it right.
I know. That's what they say. Okay, I've got to get
some crawfish before it's over.
Yeah. You need to eat some. Try some somewhere.
And I didn't get to go to the, I was out of town Mudbug Madness weekend.
So you didn't get to go to that at all.
I didn't even get to go to Mudbug Madness, much less compete in the.
Right. I missed that thing too. Where was I? Was I already gone?
I thought you went.
No, I think I was already gone to Greece.
No.
It was the weekend before?
It was before.
No, I missed it for something. I forget what I was doing.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But yeah, they're good. They're still good. They're still very good.
Yeah, I gotta, all right.
Can I ask you about something when we come back? Please, about road design and how things happen like they do. Because I'm a little mystified by how something happened.
Okay.
And I don't understand it. And I'm going to email the folks that did it and see, why did we do it like we did it?
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app. Okay.
Of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mikey Poo, I'm kind of pivoting over this. I'm just going to let you know ahead of time. I'm a little bit.
It's pretty funny, actually.
I've been on Knight Street for 15 years. I've been worrying about Knight Street and when they were going to do it.
And it's done, right?
It's done.
It's completely finished, except for the lighting.
Lighting still needs to be done.
The contractor turned out to be so incompetent, they took that project away from them.
Someone else
can now have to rebid.
Someone else will do
the lighting.
Well,
here's my question on that before you go any further.
Sure.
In his bid, did that include the lighting?
That's a good question.
So did we just lose that money? Did we just pay them for the lighting and now they're not going to do it?
Now we got to rebid? No, they won't pay them for the lighting. If we didn't get lighting, we won't pay them for it.
Okay.
And we'll renegotiate that. But here's my problem with the Knight Street project is that, you know, I was all in favor of we needed sidewalks. We definitely needed a sidewalk on the east side of Knight Street. where all those apartments are.
Okay.
All those folks walk
that's
to and from.
That's the side that the Walmart is on.
And they walk to and from that Walmart. I see them every day walking to and from Walmart. And I thought the other side, the west side of Knight Street, really didn't need a sidewalk.
Well, isn't there, there's nothing on the left, the on that side, is there?
Except
once you get past that's a part, that kind of a home complex there.
There's nothing there. There's nothing there.
There's nothing until you get down to...
Yeah, and there's some businesses up there. There's TK's Tavern. There's some, you know, some businesses
I'm
like that.
I'm thinking past that.
Okay, but they... And like Preston, think about Preston. It has a sidewalk only on the north side, okay? It doesn't have a sidewalk on the south side. So I thought, Knight Street, that'd be a good deal. Put a sidewalk on the east side. That's all you really need. It's okay.
Right, right.
For folks on my side of the street, we can cross over and walk to Walmart. But no, they put a sidewalk from Preston all the way up on the west side, going all the way up toward the Walmart. But they stopped it. They stopped the sidewalk about 100 yards.
100 yards? That's a long way.
More like 100 feet or so.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to check. I'll have to check it today. 100 feet short of where the Sportran bus terminal is, the bus bench is.
There's a bus hut.
There's a bus hut where a lot of people ride the bus. So right there where those folks get on and off the bus.
There's no sidewalk.
There's no sidewalk. There's a mud hole. The sidewalk on the other side goes all the way up to Shreveport-Barksdale Highway. Okay? The sidewalk goes all the way up. The sidewalk on the west side doesn't start until almost after you pass the Walmart. Who designed that like that and why? Why did we not include a sidewalk on the one place
that they need a sidewalk
where there are pedestrians? The one place on that road on the west side where pedestrians are always there. I see somebody walking on the west side once a month. I see people at that bus stop every day walking in the mud.
Sure.
Now. They're walking in the mud. There's no sidewalk up there. Who's responsible for that? Who's responsible for saying, stop the sidewalk here. We don't need it up by
That's
the...
That's a good question. I don't know. Is there...
How idiotic is that?
Is that streets and drainage? Is that... What would that be?
Public Works. Somebody
Public
at
Works.
Public Works designed it. Somebody...
What was your thinking?
I don't know, Mike.
Yeah.
It mystifies me to think you're not going to put a sidewalk in front of the Sportran bus overhead thing.
Where people are walking.
People are there every day with the shopping carts they get from Walmart that get stuck in the mud now. When it's a rainy day.
Well, technically, they shouldn't be over there anyway.
Well,
the shopping carts belong.
Tell them all that. But then the sidewalk picks up about 100 feet south of there. And it goes all the way down where nobody ever uses it. Ever. I don't see anyone walking on that side of the road. Ever.
So it goes past...
Past Eastwood on the Bayou?
Eastwood on the Bayou. That's what I was thinking
of. It goes
of.
Down south of that.
Really?
Next to that the lake. I just don't understand. The design of that, I'm thinking, what were they? Were they smoking something? What were they doing when they decided, we don't need the sidewalk all the way up?
I mean, is maybe that section owned privately? And they just couldn't touch it?
We have a Sportran bench there and a big cover.
I don't know. I'm confused. I'm searching for answers in my brain.
I can't get
up with nothing.
Right,
and the problem with it, y'all know how I am. It's going to drive me crazy
until
I find it out.
Okay, who do we call?
I've got to call somebody and find out how did we leave the sidewalk out of that little section where people are getting on the bus? Am I wrong or does it sound stupid?
You're not wrong.
I just don't know how it got there. I just don't know how it happened. I really don't.
And why you spent all that money on a sidewalk to nowhere?
The sidewalk on the other side was not needed.
Right.
Do it like Preston. We only needed a sidewalk on one side. Oh, God. Now y'all are going to make me go crazy. I'm going to look at it, and I have to look at it every time I go by my house. Every time.
We got a message that says, not sure the exact spot you're talking about, Knight Street, but I do know they couldn't do anything where the bayou runs alongside. It's a wetland and can't be touched. Mm. Well, it's a wetland near the bus stop now because of the rain.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's sad because those people got to walk across that little muddy hole to get to the bus stop.
Beth Mizell, state senator, after the news, top of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
All right, earlier we were talking about just a different era. Mm-hmm. Going, the things that we did as kids, riding in the back of a pickup,
mm-hmm.
not even sitting down. I think you can legally ride in the back of a pickup still if you're seated on the bed of the truck. You have to be fully seated.
Yeah, you can't be like sitting on the edge of the truck.
Or hanging on the monkey bars.
Right.
As you're going down the highway.
Yeah, I don't think you can do it on the interstate either.
Or these are country roads. When I say roads, we were going down the roads.
Right.
We got a message. Sandy said, when I turned 15 in 1974, I got my Louisiana driver's license. I did, too. I got my driver's license at 15.
Me, too. Yeah.
A permit at 14 mm-hmm. years old. 14 years old.
Yes.
That same week that she says, that same week. I love this. That same week, my dad sent me by myself to get his Parliament cigarettes at the A&P.
I went for
so
Campbell's.
You went and bought cigarettes at 15 years old.
I did too. I went
and
for
they
Campbell's.
They sold them to you.
They absolutely did. You know, when we were doing that segment, it made me think about something that I thought, what deranged human being invented this little object that we all played on? It was a metal circular object, big as this table.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was metal. It was a circle. It had metal bars that you would hang on.
Oh, yeah. And it spun.
Yeah. I'm talking about a merry-go-round. It was all metal.
Yeah.
Every piece of it was metal. Kids would sit up on the bars.
Oh, yeah.
And
up
you
on
would
the top.
Spin it as fast as you could and then run and jump on. Kids would fall off it. They'd get caught
they'd
underneath
fling,
it.
Be 20 feet away.
It was all metal. If you fell, you were going to get a ding.
Oh, I had a friend lose all of his front teeth to one of those ones.
Oh.
That was a gnarly one.
I want to know in the room where they invented this, what were they doing? Were they just doing shots? Let's invent this round thing that'll kill a few kids.
Well, it was the same committee that came up with lawn darts.
Yes, because we don't even have any merry-go-rounds left, do we?
No, they got rid of those. No.
They had one at
because
AC
the thing
Steer
was the last one to be on won.
Yeah, you win.
Oh,
and the
absolutely.
Trick was to get in the very center,
Yes.
So you wouldn't get that centrifugal force.
And my brothers wouldn't let you sit down in the center. You had to be standing up. Because I would get up there and I'd say, okay, I can sit down. Y'all can't fling me off if I'm seated. They're like, sitting down is cheating. So they would go as fast as they could. And there'd be three of my brothers just pow, 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 as fast as they could trying to fling me and my little brother off.
I caught the tail end of that because by the time I was in high school, everything was plastic and safe.
Yes. And we had that big metal slide that was way up high.
Oh, burn three stories tall.
Yes. You got second degree burns coming down that thing.
My mom sent me to Weingarten's when I was 15 and thought I was Starsky. In my 67 Chevrolet Bel Air.
Wow.
Oh, clipped a car in the parking lot because I was, again.
Oh, yeah.
What an idiot.
Man.
And my apologies to this day because I left.
I killed my mom's redbud tree.
Yes.
And my dad took credit for it. Thank God. My dad, he loved me, man.
State Senator Beth Mizell talking about her bill on the moratorium on debit card fees. After the news, top of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app. Micah McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. State Senator Beth Mizell joining us. Senator, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you for jumping on with us. Let's talk about your bill, this debit card fees. What brought this up? What made you present this this bill?
Well, first, it's a prohibition of debit card fees. So I want to make sure that it's not allowing fees to be added. What brought it up was, the proliferation of transactions where there was a little sign up that said all cards will be upcharged 3%, knowing that debit cards didn't require the cost to process that credit cards do. I mean, at the end of the day, it is our own money. So, looking into that and seeing the federal law that has been in place since 2010 that prohibits that, that's what brought it about.
The governor has signed it. It goes into effect August 1st, correct?
Yes, it does.
If we see that debit card fees are still being charged, is there a consumer hotline? What do we do?
There is an 800 number, and I should have it, but I neglected to do that. But the Attorney General's office has a consumer protection hotline.
Okay.
The process would be the cardholder who has been given that charge would call the consumer protection hotline. They would be notified by the AG. They would have what we put in there was a 30-day cure period where they can remedy the situation. If not, it would go to a right of action.
But are businesses getting around it by now offering a discount for cash purchases?
I don't know if that's getting around it. At the end of the day, the point of the bill was just not to allow surcharges on debit card transactions. So, I mean, it may be where, I've heard some businesses say, well, I'm just going to go up on everything, which, okay, well, you can do that. And it's still a competitive, that's the way the market works. But you cannot get around it by telling debit card customers they have to pay a surcharge to use their debit card. So,
but if I pull up to my favorite, let's say, place, I'm not going to name a place, and they tell me, are you paying by card or cash?
Right.
And the price for cash is lower. But if I give them a debit card, they get the money right away like it's cash, correct?
Right. Right, right. And I think that's going to be another conversation. You know, it's like one hill at a time. But
okay.
I totally agree, because I will see, let's say, a service station where there's a price for cash on gas.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says card. It doesn't say debit card. So you're paying a premium for using a debit card rather than cash, when in my thinking, it is the same as cash. I believe the processing fee, based on what the financial institution shared with me, any debit card transactions from 29 to 31 cents, whether it's $5 or $5,000, it's a one transaction. It's not a percentage of the transaction. So for 29 cents for the transaction, it seems pretty unfair or unbalanced to charge a debit card customer what they would take as a premium from the credit card customer.
And you're saying,
handling cash has a cost as well. Every form of money has a cost,
mm-hmm.
whether it's obvious or not. I mean, you have to have security, and Wells Fargo comes and picks up the money or whatever when it's cash. So it's all a trade-off, but the Dodd-Frank Act basically forbids these surcharges on the debit cards.
And there's not a cashier around that can count your change back to you, by the way. But that's another story. Are you saying
that may be a point, yes.
Yeah. Did you say there's no processing fees for debit cards for businesses?
There's a 29 to 31 cent per transaction.
Okay. But not the percentage,
that's a very small amount. There's no percentage of the transaction itself.
I gotcha.
Like a credit card.
But this new law.
There's a risk involved on the credit cards. There's no risk involved when you use a debit card and, the process confirms that the money is in the bank.
This your law will not allow them to recover that 31 cents then.
No, but I would think the price of doing business would cover 31 cents.
Absolutely. Okay, another question that just got sent to me. What about the ATM fees on our debit cards? Does this include that?
Oh, you mean when it's not your account, when it's not at your bank?
Yeah, let's say you're going to a different bank, I guess, and swiping your debit card.
The bill says for retail goods and services.
Okay. So that's
I don't know
not.
If it would be defined like that. Yeah.
Are you gonna take this a little further and maybe look at the credit card fees that were being charged by some businesses? Is that the next step on this?
I don't think the federal law covers anything with the credit card fees, but I can tell you that when I was looking into this, multiple states have laws in place now that forbid credit or debit card charges, which is like, whoa, that's a huge leap. And I think it was like California, maybe New York. I can't remember, but I know it was California. And that would be a huge step. But what it would basically, I guess, even the playing field, but doing that, if that happened, then you're not allowing the merchant to get the money back on the credit card purchase, which is a much bigger transaction fee. And then the prices would go up and everybody would be paying the price to do that.
You bet. Now, your law calls for fines for businesses. Is it a first offense type deal or do they get a warning? And how much would they have to pay?
They get a warning and they're allowed, but that's what I'm saying, they allow a 30-day cure period where if they correct their actions and reimburse the cardholder that was charged, then nothing's going to proceed from that point. But everything is based on the cardholder making that initial call to the AG's consumer protection line. And if they don't correct it, then it would be a $500 fine for each violation.
Senator Beth Mizell, can I ask you another question? It's sort of on topic, but I see a lot posted on social media, particularly at restaurants, where they put like a little service fee amount on your bill that we don't know about. Are those things happening widely? I mean, because I hear people complaining about it a lot. What is this service fee? And is that allowed? Is that something we need to take a closer look at? What's going on?
I haven't seen the specific service fee. What I've seen is, and this is really what triggered it, is when you would walk into an establishment and at the point of sale, it would say all cardholders would be there would be a 3% upcharge if you're presenting a card at purchase. But then the really frustrating thing would be there was an ATM in the establishment that was giving you like an upcharge of $5 to get cash from it because it was a privately owned ATM machine.
Right.
So you mean they've got you one way or the other. And I realized that, businesses have to make money, but sometimes it's just thumbing their nose at the very customers they're trying to keep. So yeah. I don't know about the service charge. I mean, I tried to make it, and there was some confusion about this. That's why I was so sensitive when it was mentioned that it's on charges for debit cards, because some people mistakenly in the legislature thought I was allowing surcharges on debit cards. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Right.
Totally misunderstood the bill. But that's something we would have to look up. A rose by any other name, so call it a service charge, but if it's really a surcharge, then maybe we need to drill down on the terminology being used. And do something about that.
But, absolutely. Well, I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough. It needs to be changed, because if I hand over my debit card, I'm handing you cash.
Right.
Exactly. And I think that's the frustration, because we've had, as you would guess, a lot of emails and calls at my office, and sometimes it's that, oh, my processor is charging me money. Well, I'm sorry, but you can't pass that on and just add it to the customer's bill. That's not going to be allowed. Maybe you need to find a better processor. Yeah. But there's also some confusion as to whether it's, a goods or a service. And if it's done at retail, whether it's goods or services, it would apply. So mm-hmm. whether it's I've had like fitness centers and different places call and say, I don't think that applies to me, but it would.
Absolutely.
If it's a use of a debit card. Mm-hmm.
Senator Beth Mizell, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate the call.
You bet.
We'll talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty coming up after the news, bottom of the hour, John Fleming going to be joining us, state treasurer and candidate for U.S. Senate. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
State Treasurer John Fleming joining us right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, now, coming up next, State mm-hmm. Treasurer John Fleming.
Yep.
I got my times messed up.
That's okay.
Sorry about that.
Senior moment.
Early voting numbers, not good. Mm-hmm. Only one thing on the ballot for most people.
Yep.
And we'll talk with U.S. Senate candidate John Fleming. We have reached out to Julia Letlow.
Crickets.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nada. I guess she doesn't feel like she needs us.
Guess not.
But John's gracious enough to join us next. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, State Treasurer John Fleming joining us. Good morning, John. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing fabulous.
Thank you. The early voting is over. Numbers, the early voting turnout was not great. How do your poll numbers look?
We're going to release them today, but they show us consistently 5 to 10 points in the lead through multiple polls. And so we're very happy with where we are.
Okay. I was told as well that Congresswoman Julia Letlow's poll also shows this neck and neck. Have you heard that as well?
Well, this is interesting. Her pollster, which is Rigamore, and is done by a businessman who is supporting her, announced, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, didn't show the poll, just simply said I was ahead by 2.5 points. And then the next week said I was down by 2.5 points, but really never showed any poll. And, of course, that was in the Advocate. Whenever we release something, we actually show poll numbers. We actually show the actual polls. So we'll come out today with that. They're writing the memo as we speak.
The poll numbers, a lot of people don't believe them. Where are you getting your voters from? Are these Cassidy voters? Who are these folks?
We've gotten quite a bit of Cassidy voters. We get a lot of Trump MAGA people. And the reason why is because they go, how ironic that Trump would endorse somebody who is not a MAGA candidate, which most people do not believe that Letlow is a MAGA candidate, despite the endorsement. We know how she got it. That was through Jeff Landry. Whereas they look at me and they go, Fleming fits every possible characteristic of a MAGA conservative candidate. So that's the reason why, despite all of that endorsement stuff, we still lead in that category.
Let's talk about some issues that matter to the voters, the folks that are listening. What will you do as our U.S. senator to drive prices down? That is killing us. That's crushing us. People can't afford things anymore like they used to, and their wages are not keeping up. What does a Senator Fleming do to address that?
The way you do it is to grow the economy. You see, whenever there's inflation, and we just went through an inflationary period under Biden, how did we get it? Because he spent like crazy. And the problem is, as you know, I don't know if you've observed this over time, prices never come down. What goes down is the rate of increase of prices over time. And what you have to have is the incomes have to catch up. Mm-hmm. And the incomes have not kept up. That's the reason why people are still suffering from inflation, even though the inflationary rate has come down, has moderated somewhat. And so what you need is more economic development. You need better jobs or better paying jobs is really specifically what I should say. And so you have to, on the one hand, control inflation by not excessively spending in Baton Rouge and particularly in Washington. And at the same time, you need more economic development. You need more stimulation of the economy. How do you do that? More trade overseas. Lower tax burdens, less regulations. And, of course, Trump has been working on that for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm.
The last time we spoke, we're talking with State Treasurer John Fleming. You had mentioned the fact that when Trump came out with his endorsement for Letlow, that you hadn't been able to get in touch with President Trump. And have you since talked with him since that endorsement came out?
Yes. The way it happened was early on, really more than 2 years ago from what people tell me, that Jeff Landry has been working with his cronies like Corey Lewandowski up in Washington to get an endorsement for Julia Letlow. That was something he really pressed on. And at the same time, to cut off any contact, people around the president would not allow me to speak with him. They wouldn't speak with me. And this went on until after the endorsement. And then the president noticed that I was in this race, and he reached out to me. We had a nice conversation. I reminded him that he had actually endorsed me for my treasurer's race, that I was one of the first congressmen that had endorsed him in 2016, that I'd been his deputy chief of staff in the last year. You see, 5 years had gone by because of the Biden administration. And so he goes, well, you're fantastic. Why didn't you call me before? Mm. And so, of course, I had to say, sir, the people around you wouldn't let me speak with you.
Huh. John Fleming, you've come under fire for sharing or resharing that AI video of Congresswoman Letlow claiming she only won her seat because of her late husband, Luke. Do you regret reposting that?
It didn't say that. It just made mention that she went to Congress after his unfortunate death. But the return question is, what about the AI of me driving a school bus with illegal aliens on it, which is still running today?
Sure. I just saw
people call me all the time. So I just think that is really absurd for a candidate to call out something that wasn't even an ad and something I didn't even create.
But you shared it, did you not?
I did share it.
But, do you regret that? Can you answer that? Do you regret sharing it?
No, I do not regret sharing it because it was very, very accurate. It did not in any way treat her or her family members in a disrespectful way. People who've seen it go, what? There's nothing to that at all. But then they see the ads that say that I drove a bus of illegals, that I was connected to 9/11, that I'm a lobbyist, that I'm connected to Saudi Arabia and Big Pharma. All these things, just terrible lies. That's what people are upset about.
And it took your comments out of context that you were saying, and you said that what was 10 years ago that they were quoted.
It was 18 years ago.
Well, there you go.
18 years ago. It was the first speech I ever gave when I ran for Congress, and I was talking about migrant workers, and I accidentally said illegal aliens, and I quickly corrected that. But, of course, in the ad, that's dishonestly removed. So, you see, they're not the Let Low campaign has never been honest about any of their attack ads. Anything we have said has been truth and honesty all the way and always will be.
Did President Trump have the authority to go to war with Iran, in your view?
Yes.
And so you would not have voted to stop that?
Well, of course not. But the way it works is this. The president of the United States has the power that he can attack or retaliate. Remember, we can't have an act of Congress if we have incoming missiles from another country. It just, the reaction is too slow. So as the commander-in-chief, he is in charge of the military, and he can act any time that he needs to. However, over a span of time, if it has to be sustained, then there has to be appropriations for the military, and there also has to be congressional involvement. And so eventually the Congress does have to get involved. But in modern times, we don't declare war on nations. The president has to act because of time. We have to have timely response. But along the way, eventually, Congress has got to either go along or remember that's more or less how Vietnam ended, was Congress just pulled the appropriations for it, and that stopped it cold. And that's really how it works today, is eventually Congress has got to accept that and go along with it, or they've got to reject it.
Can you answer a question for me? Probably not, but I'll ask you anyway. Congresswoman Letlow has avoided us. We have not spoken to her. I have reached out. They have tried to arrange something. They never have. That worries me as a constituent, as somebody, you know, on a conservative talk radio station. What is the problem? Why is she being so unavailable?
Evasive,
and is that happening across the state? Are you hearing about that across the state?
Oh, I hear it all the time. People of groups that I speak to, where is Julia Letlow? Interviews that I do. And you know I take the tough questions. I take all the questions.
Sure.
The reason is because her record is horrendous. She's very liberal. She's a big promoter of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is a Marxist idea. We've got her on video, and it's all out there on the internet about that. She did insider trading. Her attorney admitted to such in court, over 210 accounts of that, which are being investigated now by the ethics committee up there. There is an investigation by the Department of Justice in their campaign fundraising. Right now, there's so many bad questions that need to be asked of her. She avoids these interviews unless they're really softball interviews that are prearranged.
Have you spoken to Senator Cassidy since the election?
We've exchanged texts.
Any endorsement coming from him? Do you want it?
That's a question I'm not going to answer. I'm not going to answer that question. But we are in good terms. I'll say that. We've been friends for years. We have different viewpoints and different voting records. But we've always had a cordial relationship. But you know, I've challenged Julia Letlow to three televised statewide debates, and she refuses.
Yeah.
To do that. So she runs from her record while I boast about my record. And I think that if people have any idea that she's going to take their questions, or she's going to answer any questions, or she's going to do any kind of debate in the United States Senate to protect the people of Louisiana, they got another thing coming. If she's not doing it now, she will never do it. Mm. And so I think that's something you got to factor in when you go vote.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you got a busy rest of your week, Election Day Saturday.
Absolutely. Please turn out, folks. It's a low turnout election. And really the excitement and enthusiasm, again, if you look at social media, if you look at polling, is on our side. So we're looking forward to our supporters being there for us on Saturday. Mm-hmm.
John, thank you so much for talking with us, and good luck on Saturday.
Well, thank you very much.
Y'all. Thank you, sir.
Have a great day. Mm-hmm.
You too, sir. State Treasurer John Fleming, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You're so funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
He was very optimistic.
The polling numbers are interesting when he's talking about the other side's numbers, how they're...
If the other sides are calling it a dead heat, then you got to go, wow, okay. Mm-hmm. We're talking about John Fleming. We just spoke to him in the last segment. It's apparently very close. It's quite frankly much closer than I was expecting.
Yes, absolutely. And
much closer.
2.5 points is not within the margin of error, but we know how the polls prior to this looked and how far away ahead she was. So the polls prior were not accurate at all. So we don't know that we can really believe them. So I'm not real faithful about these polls. And the thing is, people need to go vote.
You
need to go. You cannot forget. You cannot say, I'll go. I'll get to it. But you definitely need to go vote. I did get a note from the clerk of court. There have been a few precinct changes at a couple of spots. So you need to know that. The ones are Uri Drive Middle School. They've just been moved from one location in the school to another location. So no big change. But
so there will be signage.
Yeah, there'll be signage at your voting precinct. Yeah. We do have the Forest Hill Elementary School has been moved to Ridgewood. Western Hills Baptist Church has been moved to Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. So keep that in mind. Those are the two that have been changed locations. So you can look online, too, to find out. But everything else looks like it's at the same location, maybe just at a different spot in the school. So
and I can't emphasize enough, download the Go Vote app.
Yes.
If you haven't done that, it's invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
It'll show you your ballot, what you can expect when you go in.
Right.
You can prepare.
There's nothing on the ballot this time, really.
Well, no, but not this time. But coming up in November, we've got 9 freaking amendments again.
I know. And a presidential election. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. We're going to have the Secretary of State in tomorrow. She's going to talk a little bit about this closed primary and what it's going to mean and how soon will we have the results on Saturday night.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.